Aw, oh, come on, tell me you're having just a little bit of fun.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 12, The Rumor Whisper. The Rumor Whisper. Whisper. Now here we go.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Thinner.
Okay, stop. People don't like that. Hello, listener. Sorry for the aggressive whispering. Welcome.
What about things in pop culture that have come and gone but are only remembered for something outside of itself?
Mm-hmm.
Like Thinner, the Stephen King movie.
Yes.
And it's like mm-hmm. Mary Riley. Mm-hmm. The only thing people know about Mary Riley is Mary Riley. Think about it's the same with Thinner. Thinner is from the trailer.
Yep.
Thinner.
Yep. That's a great one. Anyway, before we get into today's episode, we want to tell you what's happening on the Patreon. Again with this, episode 161 is dropping September 22nd, and it's going to be Let's Watch Nicole Tom in the pilot of The Nanny, Sue Scanlon herself as the eldest daughter of Mista Sheffield. You can watch it on Max. We'll link it in the show notes. I am so eager to know what Sarah thinks of this one because it is extremely sitcom-y, but I think in a fun way. What will she think? We'll find out.
Nanny.
You can find that and so much more, patreon.com/againwiththis. Now, let's start this episode with our B plot. Michael and Jane come to a fork in the road, and Ryan's still into Megan despite her past shame.
Ugh.
After fleeing Alex's estate, Jane storms into Megan's place to confront her about having an affair with Michael, which is weird because what just happened is Alex was very aggressively hitting on Jane, and she's behaving here and throughout the episode as if that never happened. Again, with the double ups, like, can we get people's motivation straight? Because this seems like you were writing episodes on two tracks and, like, not talking to each other.
Yeah. Exactly. It just seemed like, wait, where did we reset to?
Yeah.
To the point where this was not the only place in this episode where I was like, oh shit, did I already prep this episode?
Right.
But this sequence of episodes, like, they are so indistinguishable from each other that it's like, how many clothes does Eve have on? Is she here? Okay, maybe it's episode 12?
Yeah.
Sigh.
Bizarre. Anyway. Yeah. Megan denies an affair, saying she would have to be brain dead to make that mistake twice, and then quickly backpedals, given whom she's talking to. Jane is embarrassed, and Megan is gracious and understanding, and I was about to say all the Michael ex-wives should form a fake sorority like on 90210, but then I realized these two are all of the Michael ex-wives who are continuing to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Ryan is at Amanda's apartment working after hours. He calls her on being distracted by the window, but she calls the courtyard a parade of human drama and points out Megan vacuuming in her underwear, which you can see in the visual aids, it looks like a slip dress you could wear out to Eclipse at this point in history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So then Jane finds Michael at the practice and confronts him about making her so suspicious. He denies that he is starving her for sex, but she knows him too well. Either he has a problem he needs to admit, or he had better rise to the occasion. Hardy har har. This is what passes for wit from Jane, because she can't wait anymore, and she basically climbs onto him and gets to work. Sorry, but she does. And Michael gasps that he's going to hate himself in the morning, but he is Michael, and he can't really resist her, and doesn't. And when we see him next, he's in the hall at the hospital telling Peter he caved on sex with Jane. Peter is exactly interested enough to give Michael some good advice about this. Clip two.
You don't think that you deserve someone as independent, forgiving, and as secure as Jane? My solution? Forget the test, Michael. Marry the girl and marry her as fast as you can before you blow this thing all to hell. Oh, look at you. You know I'm right. I can see it in your beady little eyes.
And then they kissed. Oh, wait. That was just in my mind so that I could stay awake during this episode somehow.
Also, Michael has a lot of demerits, but there's nothing wrong with his eyes. They certainly are not beady or little, Peter.
No, they're not beady. Mm-mm.
Anyway, the next day, as Megan is leaving Kyle's after lunch, Ryan stops her to apologize for the way he acted the other night when she told him about her terrible former job. Because he has decided it doesn't matter, and she shrugs that she has to create her future alone. And later, keeping on the trend of acting like nothing from the last episode that happened, Jane is just having a gown fitting at Alex's studio. No problem. Not an issue that she screamed out of his driveway to get away from him in her car. Anyway, then Michael appears and says that Jane won't need the gown because they are eloping in Vegas. She was right. He was being an imbecile, so they might as well get it over with. Romantic. Jane starts listing all the wedding arrangements they have already made when Alex interrupts to say the real issue is that Michael doesn't trust Jane, whereupon Michael punches him again. This is as good a time as any. I'm going to take it down. Content warning. Sexual assault. Wanted to point out what we didn't know, or I didn't at least, but our Twitter follower, at Callie B, told us, Steve Wilder, who plays Alex, is a registered sex offender.
Oh.
You might remember that when the movie The Predator came out in 2018, Olivia Munn, who was in it, started talking about one of her co-stars being a registered sex offender, which she didn't know at the time they shot their scene together. I haven't seen the movie, but apparently he's like a weird, like creepy, incel-y kind of stalkery guy that's creepy to her character.
All right.
That co-star was Steve Wilder. He's now known professionally as Steven Wilder Striegel, although I don't know how much it is professionally used given all of this, but
right.
What had happened was he had sent inappropriate emails to a relative who was 14 at the time and served 6 months on a felony conviction over it. His survivor also claimed they had had physical contact. He had denied it. And apparently he was a friend of Shane Black, who wrote and directed The Predator. Black had also cast him in previous movies that he had written, Iron Man 3 and The Nice Guys, both after Wilder's conviction. So they removed the sequence of The Predator that he was in after Olivia Munn started talking about it publicly. And then basically all of her male co-stars ditched her to do the press tour for the movie alone, which was pretty cool, of Boyd Holbrook and Sterling K. Brown and Keegan-Michael Key, who I think we all expected to do better.
Oh, yeah.
We'll link a story about it in the show notes, but fucking yikes. Get this guy off our show. In addition to looking like a hamhead, there's all of this as well. So,
yeah.
Boy,
like,
oh
I
boy.
Did not realize that any of that shit was in play. And
nope.
It's like, well, I miss when I just thought he was a boring, pointless impediment to Jane and Michael doing whatever it is they're trying to do with those characters. But cool. This is going to drag on for a while. So we'll try to minimize exposure.
Yes. So getting back to the scene, Jane agrees with Alex that Michael is being inappropriate, given the punch that just happened. She tears up the tickets to Vegas. So in that case, Michael says that Jane can tear up her own invitation to the wedding, too, because Jane keeps taking Alex's side whenever they fight. The next morning, Michael wakes up on the couch at Megan's next to evidence of heavy drinking the previous night. He wants to get to work, but Megan tells him to stop fucking with Jane the way he used to fuck with Megan and to apologize. And so he's on his way out when Jane comes down the stairs and assumes that catching Michael there confirms her suspicions about an affair with Megan. But after they both whine back and forth about their innocence, Jane says she figured out that their relationship is based on deceit. But Michael just loves her so much, and he lies to protect what they have because she's too good for him, blah, blah, blah. And finally, he admits his wacky plan to test her love for him, but will she give him one more chance? She will, but now she's testing him. He has 3 weeks between now and the wedding to start acting like an adult. And then she says she's moving back to the complex for 3 weeks, and then they will court during 3 weeks of wedding planning. Okay, he'll do it. And she says this, clip three.
Look at you. You haven't shaven, you're wrinkled mess. But you're still as cute as I've ever seen you.
Oh, what can I say? I'm always cuter when I'm pathetic.
He is.
It's true. pathetic or working as an ecdysiast.
Uh-huh.
Who can say? It's a toss-up. Right. We should rewatch that movie just to make sure that we think he's the cutest when he's pathetic.
Yeah, if anyone listening to this has the power to put out Lady Killers like in a Blu-ray release or even just put it on any streaming service, like do it, because the version that we saw was fine, but I would love an HD remaster that really gets in there with all the detail that we need to see.
Just beam it straight into Tara's brain. It's already there.
It's in my head. It's in my heart. That Jeffrey Osborne song is playing again. Going to be there for the next 5 days.
Yep.
So that night, Megan is swimming laps in the complex pool when Ryan comes down to flirt, mostly about a rumor regarding Amanda, which we will get to in the A-plot. And the next night, Michael helps Jane move into apartment that is furnished, I guess, where she's going to be living until they get married in 20 days. So when Michael is out of the room, she plays an answering machine message from Alex, inviting her to a professional event, which we'll get to in the A-plot as well. Michael overhears and says he was just about to ask Jane to go, but he pouts that Alex must have her locked up now, but she wouldn't want to go with anyone but her fiancé. Michael says he's bad at courtship, but really good in bed. And Jane tells him to prove it, and he gets right to it. And while they're making out and undressing each other, we see that fucking Alex is at the window watching them, which that scans great.
Ew.
And from here, they cross into the A-plot, so we'll pick back up with them later. For now, we are moving on to the A-plot. Peter and Amanda, separately, have some bad nights out. After Jane slinks out of Megan's place, she runs into new complex resident Eve, who guesses Jane is Megan and dorkily says she has memorized all the names on the mailboxes. You can keep some thoughts inside your head, Eve, FYI, if you want your neighbors to think you're normal. Jane advises her to stay on her toes at the complex because she can count the survivors on one hand and smiles at her smugly. And like Sarah already pointed this out in her visual aid of this moment, but like the styling, the hair, the sweater tied over the shoulders with the spaghetti strap thing, it's like they're being cruel to this beautiful woman.
Yeah. Are they just like, well, let's see how ugly we can make her and still have it be believable? Like, why is this happening to poor Josie Bassett? It's really unfair and sad.
She does not deserve. So as Jane leaves, Peter walks in, fascinated by Eve all of a sudden, even though he was obsessed with Amanda like 3 days ago, again, with the parabola of motivation. Eve exposits that Amanda let her move into her new place rent-free for the first month, which should honestly tip Peter off that something is amiss with this situation. But instead of asking questions, he asks her out, and when she just stares at him with her uncanny blue eyes, he seems hesitant. But she accepts while Amanda watches them from above. And moments later, Eve calls Amanda to tell her about her imminent date with that hunky Dr. Burns. And Amanda orders her to the laundry room for a debrief, but just as down to meet Eve. Kyle's at the door with flowers and a huge kiss. And Amanda lies about the laundry she has to go get, but she really has to go get girl talk. Clip 4.
So, I'm having some sushi by the pool. I saw the whole thing from my window. And just so you know, Peter has had his eye on you since day one in the club.
Really? Mm-hmm. Because I thought a guy this handsome cannot be unattached. Oh, wait, are you going to tell me that he is?
No, divorced. From me, actually.
What? Oh my God, that is so weird. Of all the men in LA. Wait, of course, what am I saying? Of course the same man is going to find us attractive. Isn't that the way it's always been?
Yeah, but not always with the greatest results.
I wasn't talking about that. Anyway, you're going to help me, right? I mean, the right clothes and makeup, everything else I've forgotten.
Everything, anything you want, I promise.
Okay, so these two obviously have a pre-existing relationship, but not so close that Eve knows who her husbands have been.
Mm-hmm.
Still very mysterious what's going on here, but get on with it, please.
Yeah. I mean, I made the mistake of looking.
Oh.
Because it was seriously at a point where I was like, wait, when are we?
Mm-hmm.
Because I just couldn't figure out, like, have I seen this episode before?
Did Tara mislabel this?
Paying attention?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I assumed that wasn't it, and I had just like watched episode 10 five times, which probably would have been the same thing. But yeah, so I do vaguely know their relationship, but I don't think they tell us for like another four episodes or something. And then it starts getting absolutely bananas even for this show. Mm-hmm. I tried not to read too far ahead, but I was like, asshole does what? Asshole marries what? So yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Okay.
Yay. But I wish they'd get on with it.
Yeah. What I've heard is that like it sort of dips. And then as soon as they knew this was going to be the final season, it like shoots back up and gets good again. So we'll see.
Yep. Hanging in there, folks.
So over lunch the next day at Kyle's, Lexi complains to Megan about being horny and expresses plans to pick up a stranger at a bar later. And then Amanda bursts in to tell Kyle she got nominated for BizLine's Woman of the Year Award. Oh my God, not BizLine, the line of biz. By the way, awards like this are just like given out. You don't join a pool of publicly announced nominees. It's not the Oscars. This is like an industry, you know, bullshit thing.
Mm-hmm. No one cares.
So as Kyle is pouring champagne for Amanda and Ryan, Lexi rolls up to try to be a bitch about it, but Kyle beats her to it. Clip 5.
You know, Lexi, if you leave, we'll have two reasons to celebrate.
All right.
I mean, good line, but I can't imagine that was written for Kyle.
Well, no. So she's just like, and shambles off, and, you know, I get it. But shouldn't he pretend to be respect his, like, paying customers? Like, she just ate in your joint. Like, fake it? I don't know. I guess
economy
it doesn't matter.
Means he doesn't have to be nice to her. I don't know.
She has nowhere else to go. And that night, Kyle gets home to a dead silent apartment, which is why he is shocked to find Eve in his bedroom in her underwear while Amanda passes her address. And it is even more awkward when Kyle has to go get the door and it's Peter picking Eve up. And amazingly, this time it is Kyle who decides to try being cordial while Peter is unreceptive. Clip 6.
So you want a drink? So where are you two off to tonight?
We're going to the Philharmonic and then dinner afterwards.
And exactly what are your intentions with Eve?
What time would you like me to bring her home, Dad?
Oh, I guess 11.
12.
11:30.
Fine.
Good.
Watched the scene a couple times. It was like, oh, fun. Remember when people liked their jobs on the show? It was good. Well played by both. Well
yes. Done. Also, what time are you, I mean, the husky, what time would you like me to bring her home, Dad? It's like, oh, are you going to kiss? Because it feels
I know.
Like where it's going.
While you're being a bitch about it, like, I don't hate any of this. Continue, please. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
No. So that night, we're back at that weird, over-designed bar as Lexi watches Amanda with the editor of BizLine getting her picture taken. And who is this guy? You called him out by name in the visual aids.
I did. It is Bill Sage, who is more of a like East Coast guy. He's been in various Law & Order franchise episodes, but he's a total, hey, it's that guy, sort of a narrow-nosed. He often plays a like grabby creeper.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of is doing that here. He's in the visual aids, which you should check out for him because you'll immediately be like, oh, that guy. And then you'll be like, oh, wow, he's a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's cute. I mean, unfortunately, he's unfortunate that that's my view if he's playing bad guys. Anyway, so then we cut to Amanda with this guy. He is named Drew here, and he asks if Amanda has any single friends as gorgeous as she is. Amanda guesses someone's going to hit on him any minute, and sure enough, as soon as Amanda has walked out of the frame, Lexi joins them because she somehow knows him already, including that he always stays at the Regency. She's real connected for someone who's from fucking Cleveland. Like, not to be all flyover states, but like, I know she's supposed to be rich. That doesn't mean you know everybody in every industry in every town.
Yeah.
Anyway. Then she basically orders him to buy her dinner in his hotel room. And then over to a mini golf course, Peter / Jack Wagner is impressing Eve with his short game. When she checks that he is not upset about the Philharmonic concert they didn't attend tonight, he claims he didn't really want to go, and she's relieved because she just wanted to be outside. She loves the noise and the lights. It's so alive. Peter says he hasn't been to a place like this since high school, and then she yanks him over to a hot dog stand. And I regret to tell you that there's a lot of hot dog coverage in the visual aids because...
I mean... Sofer just unhinges her jaw like a fucking python, and the whole thing could go in, followed by a sleeve of fries, including the sleeve. Like, yeah. Girl.
It's remarkable. People who hear this are going to know who I'm talking about. There's a person on TikTok who, like, her shtick is she has a huge mouth and she eats huge sandwiches real fast. And, like, I'm not saying Rena Sofer could give her a run for their money, but, like, she would be in the conversation of, like, this being a gimmick she could also do on TikTok potentially. Anyway.
Yeah.
Peter appreciatively watches her devour this fucking hot dog, and we get this clip 7.
Well, from the looks of things, might be the first one you ever had. Hello? Where'd you go?
Where I never want to go again. Have a bite?
No,
just
I don't.
One.
Really, I don't like...
Just a little bite. A little bite. So good. One. A bite. That was good, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Cut. Oh my God. It's not first date awkward that's in the cute way. It's first date awkward that you're like, you guys should both just leave. Just return the clubs, go home.
Over to the Regency. Drew and Lexi have just finished fucking in the dark, which leads Lexi to wonder, hey, couldn't Drew change the winner of the Woman of the Year award to someone who's overlooked and to whom at the moment he is extremely grateful? He says she's off to a hell of a start for next year, which does she have literally one advertising client yet that we know of? Like one?
What?
But sure. And when Lexi guesses Amanda won, Drew confirms that it wasn't even a contest. Over to Amanda's place, where she leaves Kyle alone in bed and slips out to the front window, but Kyle catches her waiting up for Peter and Eve. He doesn't know why she's so obsessed with them, and she claims it's about trying to get rid of Peter like she tried to do with Lexi. And just then, they come back, Eve carrying a gigantic stuffed dragon and Peter bellowing about what a great time he had. She kisses him, and he looks kind of uncomfortable, which somehow cues her to pounce on his face and shove him into a wall until he pushes her away. Clip 8.
Easy.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I did it again.
No.
I did it.
No.
I did it again.
No, you didn't. No, it was fine. It's okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Really?
There you go. And I need. Nice work, matchmaker.
Jeez.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's not wrong.
No. They just don't really have that much chemistry. Like, I realize part of the point is that she's supposed to be awkward for reasons.
Right.
But it's also like, ugh, you know, she's not Amanda. So, naturally, we're going to have an issue with it. So,
yeah.
I want them to move it along, whatever it is.
Agreed. The next morning, Amanda stops in on Eve on her way out to work. Eve says everything was perfect on her date until she attacked Peter like a sex maniac. Those are her words, not mine. Amanda gently reminds Eve that she told her to take it slow, but Eve just lost it. Amanda knows how long it's been for her. And she just wanted to be outside. Okay.
She's Kimmy Schmidt.
So we don't find out what the deal is, as Amanda says Eve should just forget about it, but Eve just needs Peter to know what her real feelings are. She'll write him a letter, and Amanda tries to stop her, but Eve needs him to know this. And then we're at an exercise class taught by Billy Blanks himself. Tybo, is that a reference that takes you back to 1999 or what? Oh my God.
Oh my God. It just, and I immediately, like, I don't think I even had to look it up. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, that's the actual Tybo guy.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Blanks.
Yep.
What the...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a ton of youngsters listening to our fine program, but like you don't have any concept really of how omnipresent he was. And then by, I'm going to say 2000, just not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
I would have to look that up, but it was really amazing that it's like now he's coming on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, it really was a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I knew had those tapes. Like, truly everyone, except me, because I was lazy.
Yeah, I didn't either. It was just us two, though.
I think that's right.
We didn't have them.
knock, knock, knock. Hey, did you forget to buy these? No. Lexi's just there to network with the other women in business about the Bizline banquet and start turning them against Amanda and the foregone conclusion of her award victory, adding that she heard Amanda slept with Drew to get the award, but they didn't hear it from Lexi. And by the very next scene, when Ryan joins Megan in the pool, as we've already discussed, Megan has already heard the rumor about Amanda sleeping her way to the Bizline Award, although she doesn't necessarily believe it. She just thinks maybe she should tell Amanda it's going around, or Ryan could, but he's not going near that one. Smart man.
Mm-hmm.
Over to the practice where Michael and Peter are watching football, presumably on Fox. Michael is giving Jane space, as discussed in the B-plot, but Peter is avoiding Eve, who is being willfully blind about the complications of them seeing each other. Peter thinks hopping in bed with her too quickly will just cause him to end up the same way he did with Lexi, and he also has her letter. Clip 9.
Peter, I'm sorry that I ruined things. I pushed you too quickly. I guess I feel so close to you already.
Oh, no.
I knew that it was something from the first moment I saw you. Is it love?
Is it love? What is this, a romance novel she wrote?
I see you in my dreams, and you're always in my thoughts.
Oh, man, she watches too many chick movies.
Or she lives in a cave. I mean, Michael, she's got to find herself someone else. I mean, she's just so...
Eve. Eve, please, I'm sorry.
Just stay away from me.
Eve!
Well, Peter, that solves that, huh?
Oh, shut up, Michael.
No, don't. It does solve that.
Yeah.
She's a loon.
Yeah.
And she has no pores. It's weird.
Yeah. So the next day, the McBros are playing basketball again when Ryan repeats the rumor he heard, but he doesn't believe it, and Kyle plans to ignore it. Over to a fancy boutique where Amanda's shopping for her banquet Luke, and the salesperson brings her an Alex Bastion original. Ugh. As Amanda goes to try it on, the two broads from the Tybo class give her the hairy eyeball because, of course, all the business gals in Los Angeles shop at the same one store for the same one event. And Jane overhears them talking shit and interrupts, and despite them having no idea who Jane is, they immediately just repeat the rumor they heard about someone she may or may not know. Amanda pokes her head out in time to see Jane defending her and asks what they're talking about. And the other two women take off, and Jane physically prevents Amanda from going after them. But Amanda's going to look like a fool at the awards, and it'll be worse if she wins, Amanda says. And that night, Amanda's distracted at her desk at work when Kyle shows up. She's been trying to write an acceptance speech for an award she hopes she won't win, and she's just started to tell him about the rumor when he says he heard it from Ryan. She guesses Kyle wants to know if it's true, but he asks if he looks worried. And for fucking once, he actually doesn't. Like, okay, growth. For now, I'm sure it won't last. They briefly argue back and forth about what to do before she says she's screwed no matter what. And then we go over to the rock and roll club. Peter walks in on the end of a number by Eve and her huge hair, which you can see in the visual aids. It's like June Carter Cash. Right? It's bizarre.
Perfect. That's exactly what it is. Very weird.
So she spots him and tries to slip away while Peter gives chase, and he tries to tell her what she overheard isn't how he actually feels. Well, she feels like a total idiot. Clip 10.
This is not your fault. That's what you're not getting here. These are my issues. It's my problem.
I don't care, okay? Look, we shared a hot dog and a feel laugh, so it's no big deal.
What you wrote in the letter, it was nice. Made me feel good.
And what you said to that guy last night, it made me feel horrible.
check my makeup.
Please, wait, just... Can we try this again? Tomorrow night, maybe, at the miniature golf course. Just like before. A date. I'll be there at 8 o'clock sharp. And forget the makeup. You look beautiful.
Ugh, man, don't do that. Let women check their makeup. It's not necessarily about you.
Yeah, or the makeup. Like, take a hint. Is right. A. B. I give Jack Wagner credit. He's almost selling it, but he also doesn't quite.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, she is beautiful. It's just like, this lady is a lot. And yeah. I just feel like Peter, as written, would not have time for this. But he had time for Lexi, and I didn't believe that either. So
that's true. But this woman is like, she's acting like she's like 19.
Young.
And she's 30. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, even if she's not the same age as Rena Sofer, Rena Sofer's 30. And if she was a contemporary of Amanda's in high school, she's at least got to be pushing 30. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's something going on, blah, 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 blah. But still, it's, you know, it's not appealing. Like, this is manic pixie dream convict, I assume. That's my guess. But anyway, we'll find out together.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, as Megan eavesdrops, Drew storms into Lexi's office to accuse her of starting the rumor about Amanda and says it's made it all the way to New York, where a model that Drew's been dating called him furious. And Lexi just repeats, all the way to New York, because that is kind of impressive. She looks like proud. Anyway, so she says her starting this rumor is nothing compared to some of the shit Amanda's pulled on her, which was Peter doing shit for Amanda's benefit. Let's be real. Amanda doesn't care enough about you to do anything.
True.
And that Amanda would have slept with Drew to get the award if she had had to. Well, Lexi can forget about ever getting nominated for the award herself, never mind winning it, says Drew. Lexi has already gotten everything out of it that she could want. And Megan, eavesdropping in the hall, is like, gosh. To herself. And then over to Amanda's place, where Kyle says she needs to get dressed. But as she watches non-professional wrestling on the television, I guess it's not a football night in America, she tells him she's not going. And then they argue some more about the situation. She actually physically thumbs her nose at him, which is like a nice antique move to get her to fuck off.
You never get me, Marine. You never get me, see?
But then he does get her. Fireman carries her to the bedroom to dress her, and she finally lets him, but wants him to fuck her first. And who is he to refuse? And then Eve is meeting Peter. I don't know where they are. People are walking around with glow sticks. I assume like Universal City Walk or some such like. But anyway, another childish place where you can be outside and everything's very live, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Peter and Eve are both a little awkward, and clip 11.
I almost didn't come. It feels risky. Risky, is that the right word?
No, I know what you're feeling. It's much easier to hide. Is hide the right word?
Peter, I have a huge confession to make. I've never really had a real relationship before. That's why I was so back and forth, aggressive but scared. I didn't know if I could do it, so I just jumped in and I sank.
Look, I've had a lot of relationships before, and the same thing always seems to happen. So if anybody has a confession to make here, it should probably be me. I'm damaged goods, okay? I don't know if it's temporarily, maybe forever. I don't know.
You mean Amanda?
Yeah, Amanda. It's hard for me to open myself up to someone new.
But you're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here too. You know what? Whatever's happened before in your life and with whom, it doesn't matter to me. Let's just start this again from here, from this spot, from this moment. And whatever's come before, we'll just wipe it clean, like it was never there. Okay? Deal?
Deal.
Oh, good. We're moving backwards. Excellent.
Great. Right.
Anyway, then they kiss. Over to the banquet, where Alexi, sitting with Megan, is getting wasted and yelling at Drew, who ignores her. Michael and Jane dance schmoopily while Alex, who is there for some reason, watches and mopes. Ryan finds Megan at the bar. She asks if Amanda's there yet, but he's pretty sure she's not coming. Megan thinks she knows how the rumor started, and Ryan says she should tell Amanda. And that's when Kyle and Amanda show up while the crowd audibly mutters about her. Wow, this is a real small business scene in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, get a life, guys.
Right. You can't even say it went viral on Twitter. Like, this is truly, literally had to be a word of mouth rumor passing through town. Mm-hmm. And yet everyone at the banquet has already heard. Sure. At the bar, Megan babbles at Michael to give Amanda something. She would do it herself, but she doesn't want to get fired. Which, like, yes, God forbid you lose the opportunity to work for an unhinged lunatic like Lexi. Like, is this what you want? Okay. But from across the room, it looks to Jane like they're having a tense relationship talk, and it's even more incriminating seeming when Megan slips a note into Michael's pants pocket. And when he comes back, it's as Amanda and Kyle are going to the dance floor, but Jane confronts him about the note and pulls it out of his pocket. And when it just says, meet me in the ladies' room, it does not look great for him. So Jane says she will take this meeting and goes to the can to have a fight with Megan, who tells her the situation, making Jane look like an absolute asshole in front of Megan for the second time this episode as she figures out why this subterfuge was necessary, and then takes off to get Amanda. But Drew's already on stage reading out the nominees for the award. Amanda wins and the applause is muted. Kyle leans in and reminds her, no prisoners, and then it's speech time. Clip 12.
The first line of my acceptance speech was to be, thank you, Drew McKenzie. But if I say that, you'll all think I slept with him, which is, as we all know, the only way a woman can win this award. Anyway, Drew, this is terrific. But you have it all wrong with that stuff about integrity and conviction. You should be looking for women who could backstab, cheat, and lie as good as the next guy. I'm talking master manipulators, rumor mongers, gossips. And I'm afraid I don't measure up in those areas. So I'm going to have to decline this award and make sure it goes to the woman who really deserves it. A woman so low that she would resort to starting a rumor to destroy a person's reputation for no other reason than, hey, just for the fun of it. So, come on, everyone, let's put them together for Lexi Sterling. The lowest of the lowest, and my personal choice for Businesswoman of the Year.
That's Kyle starting the applause. That's Amanda clanking the award down in front of Lexi at her table on her way past. It's kind of great. It does harken back to the better, more scandalous moments of the show for someone to make like a huge public scene like this. I'm not mad.
No. And then Lexi is there like in a spotlight seething with her eyes cut to one side for like 10 minutes. And it's like, I don't understand why anyone would listen to her gossip or Mm-mm. care what she had to say. Mm-mm. But this was still satisfying. Mm-hmm. Because every time something like this happens, which is like almost every week because she sucks at being a villain.
Yeah.
You hope that she'll finally just shrivel up and blow away. Not yet, but you can hope.
Mm-hmm.
You can always hope.
Could not agree more. All right, let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Amanda. Doy.
Yeah, Amanda.
So many great moments. Gets to watch mm-hmm. TV for a while. Gets carried into the bedroom by her giant husband. Gets dressed. Gets fucked. Gets to completely mm-hmm. destroy her enemy. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. She had a good episode.
Least valuable player. Taking it as read, Alex Wilder for the length of time he's on the show,
right.
Obviously. Lexi. Like you said, she sucks
at
being a villain.
I'm going to go with Eve. Mm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Eve sucks at being a human in civilian life? ...
Mm-hmm.
Guess we'll find out. Unfortunately, it will not be next time on Again With This. It's that rare unicorn, a love triangle without a single point. Get it? As Michael keeps testing / stalking Jane, plus Eve and Lexi both make different redheads look bad in different ways, you'll see. You may not want to see what's in our visual aids, but we do them for every single episode of Again With This, and they are at againwiththispodcast.com. And why not join our Patreon? There's tons of extra episodes behind the paywall, and if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about Tori and Jenny's podcast, 902 and OMG. Depending on what the strike rules cat drags in, of course, but don't listen to those two hairballs yourselves. Throw some money at that problem and let us do it. Again with thispodcast.com/club. The podcast is on Blue Sky at Again With This. I am Second Reason to Celebrate, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is poolside sushi plate Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, probably isn't going to enforce that curfew. Talk to you next time.
Ooh.
What?
I fucked it up.
Did you?
What did you mean to do?
I just meant do one to end it, but I pressed the wrong button. So you got two. That ought to hold a little less of ease.